Hey, all, Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Robertson Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co. All right, you guys, welcome back. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. Hey, the end of that interview was really interesting. You should go to the archives later and listen to it. Boy, am I no good at these hard breaks. No good, I tell you. I try. I fail. All right, anyway, thanks for tuning in. I'm Scott Horton. Our next guest on the show today is our good friend Grant Smith from the Institute for Research Middle Eastern Policy. That's IRMEP, IRMEP.org, IRMEP.org. And he's got a whole mess of books about the Israel lobby and their crimes in America. The latest is Divert, Numek, Zalman Shapiro, and the diversion of U.S. weapons-grade uranium into the Israeli nuclear weapons program. He is director of IRMEP. I already said that. Sorry. Hey, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. In stereo, no less.
Oh, yeah, very good. Hey, very happy to have you here.
Great to be here, Scott.
We're going to have to work out this sound. Give me some sound check here. Say check one, two, or something.
Check one, two, three.
All right, yeah, that's a little better there. I turned it up. Okay. All right. It's Grant Smith. He's got a new piece right now at antiwar.com. DOJ demands immunity for anti-Iran group Yuani. Yuani? United Against Nuclear Iran. Hey, Grant, what's United Against Nuclear Iran?
It's a good question, Scott. It appears to be something more than just a run-of-the-mill 501c3 nonprofit corporation, a charity, if you will, given tax exemption by the IRS, formed in 2007, I believe. It's a small organization with a very big board of advisors and directors, including Dennis Ross, the Uber lobbyist for all things Middle East, Gary Seymour, former White House coordinator for arms control, Mark Wallace, financial guy, and of course, former director of the Mossad, the Israeli Mossad, Meir Dagan, and Joseph Lieberman, former senator. So it's a small organization with a very high-profile board of former government officials, all of whom, and this is relevant, would have in their former and perhaps even current capacities security clearances and access to intelligence flows.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's get to that in a second, but right now we're still between the interim deal, the now extended interim deal, and the final negotiations on a final status for the position of Iran's nuclear program, compared to the UN Security Council and America's position. They're working it out, and the Israel lobby has been trying to undo that. How powerful is this group? How much effect do they have, relatively speaking, in Washington, D.C., in trying to undermine the nuclear deal, get new sanctions passed, that kind of thing?
Oh, a great deal. This group is a very specialized group in that it, rather than do what AIPAC and some of the other nodes of the Israel lobby do, which is propose legislation that would have the effect of, you know, putting in sanctions, whereas the government's trying to use the idea of lifting sanctions as a carrot. This organization, through an uncanny ability to obtain secret corporate documents and an uncanny ability to point commercial satellites, has a constant campaign of incitement against companies and individuals it says are undermining the global boycott against Iran. and possibly aiding its nuclear program, which they insist is, of course, a weaponization program going against everything most people who follow this closely actually know. So they're an important specialty organization. I think the fact that they're so young and have managed to get themselves in so much trouble in such a short period of time speaks to what it actually is. And I would say that the evidence points to it being yet another front for, in this case, laundering intelligence into public relations.
Yeah, well, they sound like a bunch of McCarthyites, basically, just going around accusing everybody and then no accountability. So why not?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, they've now they've been sued by a Greek shipping magnate by the name of Victor Restis, who they claim, on the evidence of a couple of documents they mysteriously obtained and refused to release, they claim that he had been involved or considering involvement in some projects with the Iranians. He denies it, and they've gone to quite a bit of lengths to put out a lot of publicity that the government wouldn't really be in a position to do. I mean, of course, there's the U.S. Treasury Department's list of you know, people not to do business with. But this organization, on the basis of some fairly flimsy allegations, mounts major campaigns against corporation individuals, shippers, all sorts of people, all in the name of enforcing the boycott against Iran, which I believe they interpret broadly, and maybe corporate lawyers a little bit more narrowly for businesses in the region and elsewhere. So they've had a major role in this sort of gray area of taking allegations and using them against corporations and individuals to really blacklist them and encourage others not to do business with them. And in the case of Restis, he claims that their allegations were unfounded and sued them for defamation in the Southern District Court of New York, saying that they had cost him billions of dollars. And he's also in the process of his lawsuit trying to recover damages, begun to engage in standard discovery processes against the organization's board of directors to see where they were getting their information that they were using against him, and also try and see a little bit more about the funding flows of this organization. And that has led to an extreme response by the U.S. government.
Yeah, well, all right, we still got a couple of minutes. Give us the short version of the extreme response, and then we'll get to the follow-ups on the other side.
Yeah,
of the
extreme response. The Justice Department is tipped off, probably by United Against the Nuclear Iran, in February, and begins to intervene in this civil suit, and has just now, as of last Friday, said to the judge, you have to shut this entire thing down. We don't care if Restis was smeared or what his concerns are. This group has information which, if disclosed, could jeopardize U.S. national security. So that's
shut down the
right
whole
now.
Case. Sorry, whole I had case. To jump in. The whole case, not just we have to exclude some information.
Exactly. The whole thing. Shut it down. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And so I wonder then, is there any indication that these guys... Well, no, I mean, I guess they're working with the DOJ. It's not like the Rosa Weissman case where they kind of graymailed them and said, we're going to release all this stuff.
No, this appears they're acting more like any U.S. government agency would. Mm-hmm. Like if the CIA is being sued or if the Treasury Department is being sued, what they quickly do is they go to the Justice Department and cry wolf and try and get the best legal representation they can to get the thing thrown out of court. These guys are acting more like a branch of the federal government than a nonprofit corporation.
Yeah. Wow. So That's really something else. I believe it's only an invention of the Bush era that they get whole cases thrown out on state secrets privilege.
Right.
Rather than just specific documents or something. Because after all federal judges have, don't they all have security clearance for this kind of stuff to look at themselves and back in their own office? If not, you know,
yeah,
in open court?
They can do what's called, an in-camera review. So they have that right. Mm.
Man, this is really something else. All right, hold it right there, y'all. We'll be right back with Grant F. Smith. We're talking about his newest piece at antiwar.com, DOJ Demands Immunity. for anti-Iran group because they've been giving them classified information in order to destroy people with, sometimes on false accusations, apparently. We'll be right back. Hey, Al Scott here. Ever wanted to help support the show and own silver at the same time? Well, a friend of mine, libertarian activist Arlo Pignatti, has invented the alternative currency with the most promise of them all. QR Silver Commodity Discs, the first ever QR code 1-ounce silver pieces. Just scan the back of one with your phone and get the instant spot price. They're perfect for saving or spending at the market. And anyone who donates $100 or more to the Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org/donate gets one. That's scotthorton.org/donate. And if you'd like to learn and order more, send them a message at commoditydiscs.com or check them out on Facebook at /commoditydiscs. And thanks. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show. I'm talking with Grant F. Smith from the Institute for Research, Middle East Policy, IRMEP.org, IRMEP.org. His latest book is Divert, about the Israelis stealing weapons-grade uranium from a plant in Pennsylvania. I'm going to ask you a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But right now, we're talking about his piece that's running right now at antiwar.com. It's called DOJ Demands Immunity for Anti-Iran Group, UANI. And it's this group that, well, what? It's openly run by the former director of Mossad. So,
right. Does that tell you anything?
It's a nonprofit organization, you understand. And what they do is they accuse people and they try to get people prosecuted or sick the Treasury Department on people for violating the sanctions in any way. And in this case, they're being sued by this Greek shipping magnate. I guess if you call him that, that means he's really rich and is the type of guy who typically has the power to fight back about something like this. Is that right?
Right. He didn't have to take any of this on the chin if he felt he had been poorly handled. So, yeah, he's, you know, $100 million in business and billions in interest. So, yeah, he's a big item. And he's, by the way, not even opposed to, you know, keeping Iran from getting nuclear weapons. He's stated very clearly that he shouldn't even be a target of this group. And when he goes to court to make his case, Uncle Sam steps in after being alerted by this group to come in and just blow the thing out of court. Mm-hmm. So it's a rather drastic escalation. But, you know, as the article states, this isn't the first sort of front organization that has either been moving intelligence or weapons or classified information on behalf of Israel, which No, of course not. You've got MarTech, you've got the Sonnenborn Foundation, you've got, you know, as Juan Cole has probably accurately characterized it, the Middle East memory, the Middle East research institute that puts out as much hyperbolic press from the Arab-speaking world and recycles it into the U.S. He has said, well, you know, if it's run by Israeli intelligence, former intelligence agent, and it doesn't have the monetary might to actually do all of this primary sourcing, it's probably just recycling intercepts from Israel, which seems plausible to me. And in the article, of course, we mentioned the fact that an Israeli agent, Dan Halpern, a government official, passed classified information to AIPAC when it was trying to pass a trade agreement. We've gone over that quite a few times. Mm-hmm. So none of this is new if you know the history, if you kind of look at this as yet another part of the Israel lobbying, you know, network in this country. And compare it to past activities. It's actually not that new. The only thing that's new here and somewhat outrageous is that a lot of these organizations in the Israel lobby have former government officials and former Israeli officials. And if now the standard is that if they get into trouble, they can simply claim that one or more of these officials has classified information, what does that do for accountability? Will this set a precedent, basically, of immunity for a lot of organizations that have been engaged in mostly unpunished activity that appears to violate the law, or at least any sort of sense of due process in this country? It's a case that a lot of people put last Friday on their calendars to see what the government would ask, thinking that maybe there'd be some way to segregate whatever classified information issue there is. And the fact that the government said, no, there isn't any way to proceed with this case without jeopardizing classified information strongly points to this organization either recycling things from the Treasury Department, the NSA, or Israeli intelligence, or recycling intelligence that was provided by the NSA to the Israelis and then back into the U.S. We don't know, and the government says we don't have a right to know. So it's a crazy situation that a lot of just purely sort of judicial watch type organizations have been just flabbergasted by.
Yeah, I see what you mean about how that could create an incredible precedent, but maybe in a good way. Can any of us from now on, whenever we're ordered in discovery to turn over anything, say, oh, no, I have some classified stuff that I know a guy who knows a guy who gave it to me, and so...
Of course not. Of course not.
Oh, I'd have to be an agent of a foreign power for the U.S. government to protect me in that way. Is that right?
If you weren't lobbying for this prime directive that I mentioned in the article that came from Glenn Greenwald's reporting on Snowden, you know, if you're not working for the advancement of Israel, I would say forget it. You're going to jail, buddy, because then the law will be applied. You will. But I think it's troubling because there only seem to be a couple of explanations for why the government's wading in. It's either because this organization is doing something that's against the law, which is conducting sort of a intelligence type propaganda operation in the U.S. in cahoots with some U.S. government agency, and they don't want anybody to know about it, or it really is engaged in illegal activity. And Eric Holder, who has a record going back to Mark Rich, pardoning him when he was just giving advice to the Clintons, he has a record of capitulating. He's kind of a poster boy for what the Justice Department always does in this situation, which is, in his case, visit with the Israelis and then refuse to oppose a complete pardon for Mark Rich, who is apparently not only engaged in a lot of financial crime, but also an Israeli intelligence asset. So, you know, that sort of immunity has already been creeping up on America. And you tend to look at the career trajectory of someone like Eric Holder and just say, well, I can see why some people would want him in place for just this sort of situation. And he's already talked about this case. He's waded in and said, no, we cannot let this case proceed. The New York Times reported on that. But it is. I just think it's a travesty of justice. It's just one more bit of evidence that some organizations and groups just operate beyond the law with the full support of a very pliant Justice Department.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we don't have time, so I guess we'll have to talk about Nixon and Israeli nukes later. I wanted to ask you about this new document that had come out. But
we'll
do that soon. But so what was the other thing I was going to say then? Man, I don't remember anymore. Damn. That's twice today. I've completely forgotten what the hell I was going to say, Grant.
Well, you're probably going to say, hey, it's great to talk over Skype. And I'm in full agreement. This is great. I can hear you much clearer.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely better than your phone.
Excellent.
What was it going to be? Well, I know something that I was going to say a few minutes ago that I didn't get a chance to say, which was when you mentioned Greenwald in Israel. Someone just tweeted me this morning, hey, what was that story about America, the NSA turning over stuff to the Israelis? Yeah, it was all of it. They turn over everything to the Israelis. Here it is in The Guardian, reported by Glenn Greenwald. It got the least press of almost any Snowden story that's come out yet. No mentions in the New York Times or anywhere else, Grant, but NSA turns it all over.
That war in The Intercept, huh?
Yeah, yeah. They're doing good work over there. All right. Hey, man, thanks very much for your time. I'll get you back on. We'll talk about Nixon and the nukes in a minute here.
I'll be there.
All right. Thanks. We'll be right back, y'all. That's Grant Smith, IRMEP.org. Hey, all, Scott Horton here. I want to tell you about this great new book, Livin' La Vida Baroka, American Culture in an Age of Imperial Orthodoxies by Thomas Harrington. While he comes from the left, Harrington has little time for much of what is passed off under that label today. Like us libertarians, he puts peace and freedom first. The book's got great essays on American fascism, empire, the Israeli occupation, the left and Obama, liberalism in the state, and some interesting lessons from the history of Imperial Spain. Livin' La Vida Baroka by Thomas Harrington. Check it out at scotthorton.org/books or scotthorton.org/Amazon. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop. Which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com. Oh, John Kerry's Mideast peace talks have gone nowhere. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. U.S. military and financial support for Israel's permanent occupations of the West Bank and Gaza Strip is immoral, and it threatens national security by helping generate terrorist attacks against our country. And face it, it's bad for Israel, too. Without our unlimited support, they would have much more incentive to reach a lasting peace with their neighbors. It's past time for us to make our government stop making matters worse. Help support CNI at councilforthenationalinterest.org. Hey, all, Scott here for Liberty.me, the brand new social network and community-based publishing platform for the liberty-minded. Liberty.me combines the best of social media technology all in one place and features nightly classes, guides, events, publishing, and so much more. Sign up now and you get the first 30 days free. And if you click through the link in the right margin at scotthorton.org or use the promo code Scott when you sign up, you'll save $5 per month for life. That's more than a third off the regular price. And hey, once you sign up, add me as a friend on there at scotthorton.liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me.